Thank you, Brother Auburn, and thank you, dear brethren, for volunteering to be my choral group this evening. I enjoy at the end of the day of convention just spending time singing praises to the Lord. My dear friend, Carmelita Furness, enjoys that as well. We spent many evenings singing praises to the Lord in her home, and delighted we can do that here tonight. And I think you're all invited to the clubhouse where they live now, to have singing and fellowship tomorrow evening after the convention. So this is your warm-up, this is your rehearsal. I don't mean to be disrespectful in saying this. The theme discourse today was on Psalm 145, and we sang How Great Thou Art to open our meeting today. We sang How Great Thou Art at the end of the theme discourse, and we'll sing it again this evening as well. It's hard to go back in a PowerPoint and rearrange things, but we thought, you know, in the Lord's providence, He would like to hear us sing it three times today. And my point of no disrespect is Brother Kent was Psalm 145, the theme discourse. My presentation is Psalm 145, the musical. So join your voices with us this evening. The Psalms are so beautiful. There's nothing that I can think of that's better. There may be things equal, but nothing better than keeping a book of the Psalms at your bedside and a bookmark and read a psalm before you go to bed, unless it's Psalm 119. Then you can take each little section. You know, each section starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the eight verses, based on that letter, will start with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But to put those thoughts, those peaceful thoughts in your mind, primes the way for sound sleep, generally, with the presence of the Lord at hand. We love the Psalms, and the assurances that come from the faith of David, his great trust in Jehovah God, inspired each of us. For the recall, we refer to one of my favorite sections of Scripture, 1 Samuel 16, where David's older brothers are paraded before Samuel, and each one, the Lord says, no, it's not him. I don't look on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. And it was David's heart that made him so appealing to the Heavenly Father. And it was David's heart in Israel's dark hour when they were being challenged by the armies of the Philistines, and this giant, Goliath, comes up and blasphemes God, threatening the armies of Israel, and they cowered before him. And David, a man after God's own heart, says, who is this that blasphemes the name of the Lord God Most High? One stone and a sling, and Israel was delivered and given the victory. It is that spirit that David conveys to us when he says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Put that thought in our mind and heart, that for all eternity, we will extol the name of our Creator forever, and just to be sure, and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Brother Kent realized the daunting challenge of trying to present a glimmer, a ray of light of his greatness, because his greatness no human mind can fathom. And there are experiences that we will have in our daily lives that we don't understand immediately, or we don't understand years down the line, or decades, or even in this life we don't understand. But brethren, our perspective is one of eternity. And perhaps as we sing in the hymn Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, we'll reflect back on this moment in history, when we spent our time in the school of Christ, and we'll understand it all so well then, we'll give him thanks every experience that we've had in this life. So how about we have a reunion meeting 10,000 years from today, God willing, and remember that fact. And that's a possibility. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. How marvelous are the works of God. The wonders of creation. The beauties of the colors that we see in this planet. The flowers, the trees, the different shades of green all around us. The smell of the air in the springtime. All those beautiful little gifts from God. I will meditate on all your wonderful works because they tell me your character. I know who you are. I've seen what you have done. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. That is our God. He is a righteous God. Not vindictive, not spiteful, not hateful. He is righteous. I think that at this point we can sing with even more fervor, How Great Thou Art.
And sing my soul.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Why do you get angry? I ask myself that question. I think I get angry because I get frustrated. I get annoyed. I feel that someone has slighted me. And as I think of those reasons, I think, how petty that is. I don't think our Creator gets annoyed. I don't think our Creator has feelings of pettiness or frustration. All things are in His hand and at His command. And so He is slow to anger because His anger is used with perfection. It is not used for spite or revenge. Or in a moment of blind fury, it is always perfectly under His control. But when He exercises His anger, it is always on the behalf of righteousness, that good may come. So He is a God that we worship. He is slow to anger. May we always remember that. And rich in love, especially toward us, His children. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. There are few sanctifying powers in the Christian life equal to or greater than the noble act of extolling Jehovah God's praise. We think of the scripture that tells us He called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. But that's not an end in itself. It's not enough for us to take this marvelous light and just bask in it. Well, it's good that we do that. But finish the scripture in your own mind. He called us out of darkness into this marvelous light that we should show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. And as the world gets darker and darker, it is our privilege as the children to speak words of light, faithfulness, righteousness, love, wisdom, kindness, compassion, mercy. All these things are our privilege to do. We are the salt of the earth. And salt is a preservative. And there's nothing more preserving in heated issues and troublous times than words of wisdom, peace, mercy, and righteousness from God's people. This is something God has given us to share with mankind in the present. And we shouldn't ignore the opportunity. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. I was the treasurer of the International Convention for a while, and I remember one day vividly going to make a deposit into the account that we had at the bank. And the young lady was kind of one of these hipster types. And she says, oh yeah, the Bible says, huh? You know, that whole God of wrath thing, yeah, I get it. And I says, no, I don't think you do. What do you mean? You know, he's depicted as a God of wrath. I said, yes, but his wrath is always against unrighteousness. His wrath is against things that are unfair. His wrath is against hatred and bigotry. That's the wrath of God. Just a thought. They speak of your might and the glory of your kingdom. And I think for each of us, that's one of the greatest treasures that we have in this delightful fellowship that we share. The glory of his kingdom. And we think about it. What's it going to be like? I think for all of us, the best we try, we come away thinking, yeah, that was a really good thought, but it'll be better than that. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all the people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. So, brethren, if he has promised the kingdom from before the foundation of the world, if he has promised to give his Son before the foundation of the world, if he has promised to call the church before the foundation of the world, let us not doubt, though the time seems long. We've been waiting a long time. Because the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down, and that's for sure. He is our strength in sorrow and every pressure and weight of life. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Why? Because God is love. Brethren, let's raise our voices to our Creator and sing the sentiments of God is love. Surprise. You know, it's kind of like when you expect something to come and hit you and hurt you and you doubt. And when they see what the Heavenly Father has in preparation for them, they will be astounded. And astounded, I think, for the whole 1,000 years. And I think even astounded in the ages of glory to come, when God reveals the riches of His treasure in Christ, who's He going to reveal that to? The Christ? Well, probably, okay. But we think that He will magnify the glory of His name in the new creation, in the Christ, for ages to come. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and faithful in all He does. And as we are on the battleground of our Christian experience, daily fighting the good fight of faith, challenges come up. They make us say, is He righteous in all His ways? Is He faithful in all He does? And if from time to time we wonder that, it's okay. Because I firmly believe that in my case, the Lord has vindicated Himself time and again and shown me His great wisdom in all that He does. He loves us. How much? He was willing to have His Son die for us. That's how much He loves us. And if a man gives his son to die for someone, is he so ready, like this, to turn his back on them for any offense? I don't think so. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. And so with the precious promises of Scripture, we call on Him in truth with humble hearts and trusting hearts in full expectation. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. Such love is wonderful. It is our privilege to make His love known.
Amen.
name rejoice. The world is in a desperate situation, and it needs every positive message that it can receive. None is more positive than the message of the gospel of the kingdom. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. It's a bump in the road. It's been so lovely to this point. Now, all the wicked he will destroy. I think there's a percentage that he'll destroy. It'll be extremely small. They're identified in Revelation chapter 22 as those who stay outside the gate of the city, not within the city itself. I just kind of picture a small band of discontents who resisted every effort of divine love, every overture of divine kindness and generosity manifested from God, from the Christ, from mankind. But I think they'll be so few, so small. You know, there is a way to destroy your enemy. There is a way to destroy those who are wicked. It seems very palatable. That is, remove their wickedness from them and destroy them from being wicked in that manner. Perhaps that's the way it is. We'll find out. Okay. My mouth, your mouth, your mouths will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. One of my favorite hymns recognizes this. Just praise his holy name because he is holy. 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 Holy.
Holy, 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 all the darkness.
lovely prayer to the Heavenly Father. We shared it together. In the end, we said,